Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to talk about something I know virtually nothing about and another thing that I know a little bit about. So I'm going to listen pretty closely. We're going to talk about special purpose acquisition companies, or SPACs, the latest digital health investment figures, and what one has to do with the other. Today's lesson on high healthcare finance will be taught by Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning?
It's the best of times. Stock market's at an all-time high. There's a coherent plan now for vaccinating the country and great leadership to put it into place. But it's also the worst of time. First president ever impeached twice and the whole country on edge for next Wednesday. So best of times, worst of times.
Are you feeling similar, Julie?
Yeah, I have to say, I just listened to an interview of the head of CDC, and she is so inspiring. I think we're going to see next week serve us up some transparency that we might not be ready for, but I think we need it. So I'm excited for it.
Great. Thank you. Now, before we talk about SPACs and digital health funding, let's talk about your presidential inauguration day plans for next week. Dave, how are you preparing for January 20th?
Well, it's going to be pretty much like every other day. I won't leave the house except for essential needs. Maybe I won't leave it at all. And I'm just generally hoping for the good kind of fireworks.
Julie, how about you? What are your plans for the 20th?
Well, it's a little bittersweet for our family in some ways because my husband worked on the Hillary campaign. So we think a lot about what the last 4 years would have been like. But I have to say, we are fired up. We're going to decorate. We're going to make the victory cup cocktail and hope for the best in the streets out there that it's a good day and not a terrible day.
Yeah, it sounds great. We'll be watching probably on the TV in the basement away from any windows. Then I'm going to watch the closing scene from the movie Dick, which is about Nixon's departure from the White House. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. So I'll have that on a loop going all day. So if you happen to be in DuPage County, you may hear it out my windows. So
sounds good.
All right. Anyway, let's talk about SPACs. Dave, give us a short primer on SPACs and why they've become a financing vehicle of choice for big healthcare deals lately.
What is a SPAC? It's not a new form of stucco. The acronym stands for Special Purpose Acquisition Companies. SPACs are essentially blank check shell corporations designed to take private companies public without the long roller coaster ride typically associated with initial public offerings or IPOs. SPACs have been around since the 1990s and used to be considered financing of last resort, but they started coming back into vogue in 2017. Before then, the number of annual SPAC offerings were in single or low double digits. In 2019, there were a record 58 SPACs that raised $16 billion. Then the market absolutely went crazy in 2020, raising $73 billion in SPAC funding in 219 transactions. By comparison, traditional IPOs raised $67 billion. So SPACs actually outraised IPOs, which is pretty remarkable in 2020. So why are they so popular right now? They're great for sponsors. They're great for acquired companies and hedge funds that get in at the right time, but often not so great for longer term, particularly retail investors. But let's get into the mechanics. Anyone can start a SPAC, but it's usually well-known investors that sponsor them. Legendary hedge fund manager Bill Ackerman raised a $4 billion SPAC last July, and that was the biggest to date. So once the sponsor, like Ackerman, launches the SPAC, they file, they get investors, and then they go public. Once they're public, the sponsor generally keeps 20% of the publicly traded SPAC. Then the SPAC has 2 years, typically, to find and acquire a company or investors get their money back. Once the SPAC finds a company, it negotiates an acquisition price and terms. and then gets its SPAC shareholder approval to proceed with the transaction. It's at this point that the de-SPAC process begins. SPACs typically have enough funding to pay for 25 to 35% of the target company's acquisition price. So they have to get more money. They acquire additional funding from hedge funds through PIPE transactions. Like, we don't have enough acronyms here, but private investments in public equity. These transactions contain attractive out provisions when combined with warrants for future purchases at predetermined prices. Retail investors come in at this time, but they don't get the warrants. So along with debt, the SPAC then has enough money to acquire the company. It still has to gain all the regulatory approvals, but once that's done, the SPAC merges with the acquired company and begins trading on public exchanges. Voila, the SPAC disappears. Sponsors and companies celebrate. Are you tired yet?
I thought online banking was tricky, so that was great. All right, Julie, what's your take on the popularity of SPACs in healthcare, and how long do you think that their popularity will last?
Well, to really measure popularity, I like to think about the People magazine side of what's happening here. And there are celebrities with really no formal or prior investment experience, like Billy Bean, Shaquille O'Neal, Paul Ryan, have all launched SPACs. So these are popular. Some of my favorite headlines, you know, Forbes put out an article that said it's raining biotech SPACs. Modern Healthcare talked about how healthcare companies are cashing in on the financing vehicle boom. So this is a big eye catcher because most general people haven't heard of this word SPAC in this context. And, you know, while Dave talked a little bit about how they were started, you know, they're started certainly by the tech industry, like most things are these days in finance. You know, they're pretty controversial, honestly. Some investors would say that they're built to address a structurally broken IPO process, and others think that they're borderline illegal. People are watching them very closely, I'll say that. Dave gave some of the stats in 2019, and 2020 was just a banner, unprecedented year. 2021 already holds some of that promise, I think. You know, a lot of folks are concerned that we're close to a saturation point in SPACs because as more and more SPACs are launched and go public, they're looking for fantastic assets to bring in and merge in to make public companies. And in healthcare in particular, we have some amazing assets, but not necessarily assets that are large enough to be public companies today. So, you know, I think we're going to see some roll-up activity happen. We've already seen a little bit of that happen in healthcare to fulfill the SPAC. But SPACs do have 2 years to find their assets. So it's going to take us a little while to roll through whether or not we have some quality problems with the assets that are brought public through SPACs. So hence, I think 2021 is going to keep rolling despite some of the initial concern. We've already had 28 SPACs launched as of January 11th. So if we're on stay on this train, you know, we're going to surpass 2020. But just like everything else in the investment world, all good things do come to an end. So anyone who joins the party late might see lower performance than the early birds.
Got it. Dave, anything to add to Julie's comments?
Oh, yeah. I guess, you know, having been an investment banker myself, I'm always amazed by the financial ingenuity of the marketplace when it comes to structuring financial transactions. The rub is that financial restructuring doesn't create value. Companies create value by delivering better outcomes, lower costs, and so on. And we found that out in spades during the financial crisis in 2008, 2009 with collateralized debt obligations. I do think we've got some, what Alan Greenspan used to call, irrational exuberance going on here. And it's remarkable that once it's out of the bottle, how hard it is to tamp down. The fact that Billy Bean's leading a SPAC ought to be a warning to everybody. A few years ago, I did the keynote address at the healthcare BOMA conference, the Building Owners and Managers conference. And at that point, prices for healthcare real estate were at all-time highs. And one speaker after another was talking about how the market had fundamentally repriced. There was nowhere for it to go but up and so on. And anybody who knows me knows, I believe, we're way overinvested in this country in acute care assets. So I got up and gave what I considered my turd in the punch bowl speech, and everybody kind of thanked me, brushed me off, and went on with their deal making. So I think there's some pretty heavy irrational exuberance going on.
All right. Now let's talk about investment trends in digital health tech companies. Rock Health and Mercom Capital Group came out with their year-end 2020 reports on digital health venture capital funding. Julie, give us the highlights of those two reports and your lessons to be learned from the data in those reports.
Not shockingly, digital health companies had a banner year. We saw $14 billion in change in funding, which is the largest amount of capital deployed since Rock Health started in 2011. So that's pretty amazing. And, you know, 440 deals, highest number of deals since then as well. And while that's going to be a hard thing to talk about, that much money going into the system when our economy is going through what it's going through, the good news to me is that that money is, for the most part, going into investments that all of us healthcare junkies know need to happen. And the investors have been investing behind for, you know, a handful of years now. So what's really happening out there is that we're seeing kind of a double down on the vulnerabilities in our system and what needs to change in our system, which is great. I was amazed actually that the first half of the year saw $6 billion of that 14. The second half of the year saw $8. So we also put another $2 billion to work in the latter half of the year, recognizing the issues of the pandemic. You know, the top three winners in that area were on-demand healthcare. So think about companies like Alto Pharmacy or Roe, or even companies like Amwell or PlushCare who are delivering virtual care. They saw $2.7 billion of funding. And I think someone like Lin Chao Kee from Defined Ventures really said it best in this particular area. It's like we've seen 5 years of natural evolution turn into three quarters of a revolution. And that's how it feels, I think, to everybody and frankly, the investors too. Second category winners, which you know has become an increasingly popular category, not surprisingly, is in R&D and how to accelerate information and capabilities in R&D. So obviously this has a lot to do with excitement around the COVID vaccine, but it's really drug and device as a category. Companies like Concert AI, Incitro, et cetera. And then third category is in, I guess also not surprisingly, but not one we talk about much, which is at-home fitness and wellness care. So think companies like ClassPass, Strava, Zwift. They took home $1.7 billion. So a lot of chasing consumers in their home, trying to make them healthier or at least more fit. And I would say notably, in the virtual healthcare space, we've seen obviously a huge surge in the behavioral health, and that's where a lot of funding was put, which is great. 55 deals in behavioral health. And some of the largest companies there were Lyra, Mindstrong, Amwell, et cetera. And this is great to see. I think we're going to go through a lot of experimentation over the next couple of years, really understanding what in virtual behavioral health works. And you'll see investors actually develop some pretty interesting companies in this space.
Thanks, Julie. Dave, what do those reports say about the direction of the industry to you? And then tie it back to our first topic, SPACs, and how do they fit into this scenario?
Julie, that was a great summary. And your quote from Lin Chao O'Keefe was spot on, and just how much activity is being compressed into such a short period. I moderated a panel that she participated in last month, and her knowledge of the space is just remarkable. I think I'm going to come back to this question of value that I raised in response to the first question. What's, I think, really interesting about this moment in time is that digital health is really creating value right now, demonstrable value, better outcomes, lower costs, better customer service. And we can now see it with attribution. The thing I would add to Julie's comments is we're not only seeing it in the funding space and the IPOs, we're also seeing it in M&A and the Landmark transaction in 2020 was Teladoc's acquisition of Livongo. And of course, Lynn was an early investor in Livongo. But that's a company that has taken digital care management to new heights and demonstrated real progress. So we do have this kind of unusual moment here where I think SPACs are raising prices generally, not only in healthcare, I mean, across the board. A lot of these space companies are being funded by SPACs. But in the digital health world, I think we're going to look back at 2020 as the year that it really started to break through and live up to its promise, almost in the same way that it took personal computers a while to break through and demonstrate how much value they added to economic productivity and so on.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. Julie, anything to add to Dave's comments?
No, the only thing I'd add is I think we all recognize that we have had a decade or more of digitization. We now have data in ways that we didn't have when Bush started ONC and started to try to lay down the conceptual pipes for data. It started this wave of digital health companies that have now gone through the pipe, so to speak. And we have a new wave of companies coming that can take advantage of that infrastructure. You know, TruePill set down remote pharmacy infrastructure. Companies like Redox, Datavant are really connecting data and health information exchange concepts that are next generation from what we thought about in the early 2000s. So I think this is going to be an incredible time for investment in the next couple of years.
Great. Thanks, Julie. Now, as always on the roundup, let's talk about next week. Julie, will any healthcare news overshadow the inauguration?
You know, I started by talking about listening to the head of the CDC, and I think we're going to start to hear some bad news this week as the Biden administration comes in and we start to actually learn more about what the Biden administration knows about our situation. So again, I think, you know, bad news can be good news if we try to set our expectations and all get on the same page.
Got it. Dave, what's the lead healthcare story next week?
Oh, I think it's the race to get enough people vaccinated to stop the really dramatic trend in COVID-19 cases and deaths. We're going to cross 400,000 deaths here in the next couple of days. And I think it was the CDC that came out with, and this is the Trump CDC that came out with a prediction that 90,000 more Americans will die in the next 3 months. So we're in a real race.
Yeah, I think maybe we revisit the topic of vaccine distribution, which we did a few episodes ago, and maybe we'll give a status report on that and maybe some new ideas on how to get that rolling. Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Julie. That's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You can also find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.